Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Insulation. My name is Louis Mendes. This is an emergency broadcast on a Wednesday evening after the Charlton Athletic head coach Michael Appleton was given his marching orders after 5 months at the club last night. Following the 3-2 home defeat against Northampton Town, that means it's now 10 games without a win for the Addicts in League One, and six defeats in six. We're on a bad run, pretty bad run. Good evening to everyone who's joining me on the screen. As you can see, we've got a pretty packed house to try and discuss the ins and outs of what's happened over the last 24 hours or so. So Joe Puddyfoot, Nathan Muller, Mark Newbury, Sue Gallup, Ben Cloak and Tom Wallin join us this evening, as do plenty of you guys in the live chat. Good evening to everyone who's joining us live on YouTube. Let us know what you made of the decision to sack Michael Appleton last night. Let us know if you fear for our League One future with the Addicts sitting just 4 points above the relegation zone. Of course, we want to know your suggestions for who may come next in SE7. Make sure you put your comments in the chat, or you can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can email us studio@charltonlive.co.uk. We will get to as many messages as possible, but obviously we might not be able to get to all of them. So I won't go around and introduce everyone one by one because we'll be here all night. So let's go straight into it. Joe Puddyfoot, top of the screen there. Joe, following the dismissal of Michael Appleton last night, your thoughts, your initial reaction?
Well, I wanted him out before Christmas, so for me, it's been long overdue. It become untenable for him. We needed a fresh start. We are struggling at league position. We're only heading in one direction. Lots of players coming in through the door. Lots of reasons to be happy, but you can't throw away the goodwill you're earning by continuing with a man that doesn't have the fans behind him. Because if you don't have us behind you, then it's going to be an uphill battle for you as a manager.
Yeah, Nathan, when the news came in, it was only half an hour after the game finished last night that we heard that Michael Appleton was fired. So, I mean, it was quite clear that something was going on over the weekend, despite the club's denials and obviously Michael taking the game on Tuesday night, doing the press conference on Monday. But, yeah, have you been surprised by how all this has been handled?
I don't know. I'm not surprised of anything with this club anymore. But, I mean, in terms of looking back at a press conference, I think it was quite uncomfortable watching it, I'll be honest, the pre-match. So it sort of tallied with how quick it was done. And if it was that, you know, that's so quick after the final whistle, you can only assume, well, I'm only assuming, that the writing was on the wall before the game. So, it didn't come as a surprise. I mean, it was just as soon as we went one down and then Eden got sent off, I knew which way it was going. It just was a bit toxic. So I just think we put it out of his misery a little bit now, and we can try and move forward, whoever that is next.
Scott Taylor saying, for me, it's the performances from Boxing Day to date that have been toxic. I'm honestly glad he has gone. Yeah, I think in terms of a unanimous reaction from the fan base, Ben, I can't remember seeing just a blanket reaction to a manager being sacked. Sometimes you get the odd person saying maybe you should have got a bit more time, but I haven't seen many of those.
No, and as I said on Sunday, I think the ones that, well, I was feeling it a few weeks ago that I just didn't want to be that club that sacked managers so regular as we have been. You want them to be given a chance. And in Appleton's case, you wanted him to bring in his own players in this January window. I think if we were like 8 or 9 points off the playoffs and you thought it's probably not going to happen, but like we're doing okay, we've had some injuries, he's bringing in his own blood, let's see how it goes, then you could have reasoned with it and gone, okay, like I am one of those supporters, I can see why supporters don't like him, but let's see how it goes. But as Joe was saying, at the moment, we're going in one direction and we're losing games or we're drawing games late on in games all the time. It's happening so regularly that we're obviously not stopping the buck there, and it's getting ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, last night was just funny at the end. It happened again. Just absolutely ridiculous, isn't it? So, yeah, I think even supporters that are of that mindset of sacking managers, and yes, we don't want to be sat here doing emergency broadcasts having to talk about another manager going, but in this case I think it just got ridiculous, and yeah, even supporters that were a bit on the fence with it, I have to reason now that now's got to be the right time going into such a tough month in February.
Yeah, so I mean, could you have foreseen any way that he could have turned around the form that we've been in? Like we say, 10 games without a win now in League One. The late goals just keep flowing as well. I think it's something like 8 goals after 80 minutes in the last 10 games or so. We just don't seem to be able to see out games at the end or hold on to points or you know, hold on to 3 points when we were leading. I mean, was there any way back in your view, and was there any way that this decision could have been wrong?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I think I agree with Joe. I think that we've sort of had discussions over a period of time now where we felt that he wasn't the right man for the job. But I think when you go on that run and you're consistently losing a game in the last sort of 15, 20 minutes of a game, or even less than that, there's got to be some sort of mentality, like mindset there that's like, what is it about the players' headspace? But not only that, what is it about the manager that then is not able to put things right and just even hold on for a point? I know we've had periods of time in our history where we've got, where we always call it our squeaky bum time, like the last sort of 5 or 10 minutes, or if you get the 7 minutes added on. But that's so concerning that that's happened so consistently. And I don't think I can remember it happening for that longer period of time. It's happened before, but not for the amount of games in a row that it's happened.
Resilience is saying, in my opinion, this sacking was 5 months too late, but better late than never. Imagine if we did sack him on day one. That does feel like the sort of thing we might start doing at some point. I think it happened to Leroy Rossignol down at Torquay, where he was manager for 10 minutes. And something went wrong. I mean, Mark, where did it go wrong, Mark? Can you pinpoint, you know, obviously we started off on a reasonable enough run under Michael Appleton. I think he went something along the lines of 7 or 8 games undefeated in all competitions. Obviously, a lot of those were draws. But why has it not worked for Michael Appleton at Cheltenham? Can you only pinpoint it on the manager? Is there bigger causes at play there?
Well, it's probably a couple of things. One, he came in after Dean, and then he managed to get a few games out of Chucks. He managed to get, he had young Lee Byrne as well, and we were saying, well, you know, if Dean had these players, he'd have probably may have got those results as well. So I think obviously when we start losing players, it found him out tactically. And I said last Thursday, I just didn't feel anything about him. I said it was strange for a manager, but after Saturday's result I was feeling generally angry, and after last night's performance I was livid, and I was at home and I was watching and listening to Scott and Curbs, and when they got the message through, I was just like, yeah, there's absolutely zero surprise. Now, I don't think there was any surprise in the studio. So he was lucky when he came in, I think, because he had players fit, but then got found out, and he got found out for being a mediocre manager. And he talked about his record last week, but he's never really had one a record. So apart from going places and like annoying the fans. So you can't put a finger on one thing. It was either the right appointment at the time. It could have gone two ways, as it always can. But, you know, you can look back with hindsight and say, no, it wasn't. But with the other names who were bandied about at the time, was he the most experienced one of a bad bunch? You know, and we gambled. We gambled, we lost. But, you know, now it's getting the right person and going again.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned looking back with hindsight, because I do remember our first show after Michael Appleton was given the job, and looking at the fan reaction on the forums, and it genuinely was one of the most underwhelmed reactions I've ever seen from a support base. Not many people seemed massively excited. Of course, everyone said, look, we're going to have to give him a chance. He's here now. That's, we'll see how it works. Jay's saying he should have got a bit more time. I'm guessing he's meant to about 10:30 last night instead of 10:15 when obviously the statement went out. Tom, you were thoroughly not looking forward to doing the show because we've done this many times. This is the third emergency broadcast we've had this season, obviously after Dean going and Michael coming as well. Why does it keep happening to us? Why do we go through managers so quickly? Because when you're going through them at the rate of knots we do, it feels harsh to pinpoint only one thing. Obviously, Michael will have to put his hands up at some point and realise it didn't go very well for him here. But why, as a club, are we unable to get appointments right and to get recruitment right and to bottom out this curve that it feels like we've been on, this downward spiral for a long, long time?
Ultimately, the ownership. And we haven't had an ownership that are prepared to stay the course. We haven't got an ownership that prepared to properly dig their hands in their pockets and back someone. We haven't got an ownership that are prepared to accept what we are now, which is a mid-table League One side. And you need an ownership that are prepared to bide their time with somebody and give them a chance. And at the moment, from top to bottom in that, I don't see that. And you go all the way back to Roland and it's been the case. You then look at the next ownerships that have come. You look at Sangard. The moment we start to get into a bit of trouble, we panic. And what's ridiculous is that the person who ultimately was probably the worst of every manager we've had since, I don't know, since one of Roland's little temporary blokes, probably since Carol Fry, has been given the longest amount of time. And that in itself is absurd. And I know I've defended the desire to just try and keep one manager. At no point did I ever want it to be Michael Appleton, but it appeared to be stuck on him. And I was like, okay, well, that's better than changing yet again. But if you go back through every manager we've had over the past 3 or 4 years, I would have happily accepted 2, 2.5 years under any of them to give them a chance to do anything. And all of them offered something more. I know you've said a few times, Louis, about the connection with the fans and the importance of that. I disagree slightly with that. And I think Appleton has fallen partly more quickly because of that. But I think somebody like Dean having that bond did go a little bit further. I think Ben Garner having a playing style went a bit further. I think Jacko being connected to the club went a bit further. You could argue all of those people deserve some time. And I don't think Apples did. But at least if you're going to give him it, you have to then see that through. And ultimately, last night they just couldn't, right? And I totally get that. And I'm glad. But you look at the statement they've released today and it's the same as every other statement they put out. It's the same as the statement they put out after Dean. They've got no plan now. They don't know who they're going to get in. So we're back where we were. We're exactly back where we were. And you can't tell me if we'd have kept Dean Holden, we'd be any worse off than we are now. Because he had injuries. He had a terrible squad. They didn't back him enough. And then this same thing's happening over again. So, no, none of us really wanted to be on this pod, did we? Well, maybe Joe did because it meant that Appleton had gone. But yeah, none of us want to be sitting here talking yet again about a relegation scrap in League One. So, yeah, it's the ownership. It's Andy Scott, it's Charlie Methven, it's the rest of that bunch. They have got a huge amount to answer for. And I'm not convinced that they have the blindest idea what they're doing yet again, just like every other set of owners.
Mm. Luke's pointed out that we've had the same amount of emergency broadcasts as we have clean sheets this season, only three. Which is a sad state of affairs, isn't it? Yeah, Tom just mentioned that the club have just put out a statement. There's not a great deal you're going to learn. It says it comes from the board of directors. It says our current league position and form over the last 2 months is not good enough, doesn't match the ambition and investment of the club's owners or the expectations of us as a board, the club staff and you, the supporters. To arrest our recent form, the decision has been taken to relieve men's first team head coach Michael Appleton and the coach Richard O'Donnell from their roles. Our search for the next head coach is underway given our current position and the ambition of everyone at the club is vital we get it right. We get the right appointment to lead Charlton forward. In the meantime, it confirms that Curtis Fleming will take interim charge, supported by Jason Pearce and Stephen Henderson. Says Curtis is a very experienced coach, while Stephen and Jason have a real understanding of the club. They said appointing a new head coach is a key priority. They say, again, we're also well aware that the transfer window still has a week left. They've already signed 7 players this month. They're still looking to further strengthen. As always, they say the transfer activity will be overseen, as it has throughout January, by the technical director, Andy Scott. We'd like to thank you for your continued passionate support and assure you that everyone is working hard to turn things around on the pitch. And yeah, obviously the name Andy Scott's come up there. I mean, someone put in the chat, Stephen just said, why do we keep referring to Apples as the manager? He was the head coach. He took instruction from Scott. That's a real issue here. Obviously, we know that. It's the Appleton was brought in as head coach, Joe, and by Andy Scott, you know. And again, after the recruitment at the start of the year, which has left us a bit short, albeit obviously they came through halfway through the window, and now a couple of managerial appointments that haven't gone well, I guess there is a lot of going to be a lot of scrutiny on Andy Scott and what he does next.
Well, I said on the show when we were here sort of talking about the appointment of Appleton that Scott nailed his colours so firmly to the mast for this appointment. All of the language was that this was going to carry us to a new horizon of great things and that we were no longer a losing club. This is the platform we were going to move on from. And he only ever set himself and Appleton up for failure with that. And now he's in a position where he's going to have to, you know, 13 days after a vote of confidence was given, he's got a sack of manager, he's got to go and find someone else again. And Curtis Fleming, my understanding is from the outside, is that he was Scott's man as well. So even when he does have a manager in there, he's looking to appoint someone else to look after the manager he's appointed. He has that much confidence in the job they can do. So he's, you know, the only thing that he's done so far to the T of what he said he was going to do is he said he was going to come and sit above the manager and provide some continuity and transition. He's now on to his third manager, his second interim setup. So that's his fifth coaching structure. He's been here, I think, 7-8 months. So that's a pretty spectacular achievement in such a short period of time. But he's going to have to get this appointment right. And we've got to get a manager, just like we've got to get a squad that is going to get us out of this league and then cope and stand on its own two feet in the division above. And I just don't see how he's going to find that in the position that we currently find ourselves in.
Should he be under pressure then, Nath, Andy Scott?
Yeah, I think he would be under a little bit of scrutiny, and I think that comes with the territory, doesn't it? I think you criticise players for poor performances, you criticise the manager for poor tactical decisions, so you'll have to criticise the person who's hiring all of those players and managers underneath him. So yeah, he's going to be feeling a little bit of pressure, as Joe said. You know, these colours to the mast with, you know, appointing Appleton. I don't think it was his first choice, which speaks volumes, but yeah, he was backing him, and you know, in that Q&A that we had on that Wednesday, it was they were backing in, which I get to an extent. You know, I think when they were bringing players in, I can get why they were backing him. But I also said on Sunday, at the same time, you still have to win games in the interim period, and you can't carry on losing games because football's not a forgiving sport, and we know what happens, and that's ultimately what has happened. So yeah, he'll be under pressure, but he's just going to carry on and do what he's going to do, isn't he? He's not going to resign or anything, so we just have to crack on. And hopefully we get the right appointment next time, or we'll be back in for another emergency one in a few months' time.
Yeah, well, Time Traveller says, I don't want coaches, I want management and leaders. It's a joke, although if they are a real Time Traveller, they can go and tell us who the next gaffer is, and we can all go and stick a couple of quid on and win that one. There was a good point here from Braun, says, don't excuse Appleton by saying he was just the coach. It was the technical setup, the poor set pieces and the poor defensive work rate that was the main problem, and that comes straight from Appleton. Yeah, I mean, I put the question to him, so the last time I got to speak to Michael was obviously after the game against Burton last Saturday, Ben, and I was speaking to him about the fact that Lloyd Jones had made exactly the same mistake 2 weeks in a row, and he highlighted it the week before. He didn't close down Mason Clark for Peterborough, and he didn't close down Helm for Burton on Saturday. You know, that is tactical. You know, at some point, with all the defence, you see managers go into clubs all the time, and they see a defensive unit that's not working. I know there's managers out there who are known as specialists for this, but they go out and actually drill a little bit of organisation into a back line. And Michael is unfortunately one of a long line who's been unable to do that. You have to do what you've got with the tools at hand, even if we're finding out maybe they're not as good as people thought they were.
Yeah, totally. I mean, if you look at the excuse of, okay, we've got injuries, our first choice back four haven't been injured this season. So apart from Hector just getting injured recently, and we've obviously just brought these two new boys in, we haven't had the injuries there. So that's what winds me up when we say about the injuries. It's like we haven't had a problem scoring goals. We haven't gone, oh, do you know what? Yeah, well, if we would have had Chucks and Miles, we might have scored a few more. But it's letting in goals. That's where we're struggling. And he was a defender himself, wasn't he? He's changed it to three at the back in the last few games. And look what happened last night. First goal, it was 2-on-2. Then one of our players slips over. Second goal, as Nathan tweeted out, same goal we're letting in. Ball comes in, guys got unmarked and basically side foots into the net. What do we do? So, again, another reason for his sacking. He just cannot set up this structure of defence, the game management to hold on at the end, to put the extra defender on or three at the back or just to have two blockers in the middle of the midfield. It just doesn't work. So, yeah, that's where you lose trust in a manager if you just can't hold on to that. So, yeah, Jason Pearce, Curtis Fleming, they've got a big task to try and get that, to give that defence some confidence going into Saturday now.
Yeah, right. Jake says it's not just managerial recruitment. We haven't got a commander on the pitch and we're two fullbacks short. Andy Scott's positional recruitment has also been poor. We've got a ludicrous number now of midfielders. I mean, it was telling really in the Q&A with the board a couple of weeks ago, Sue, when I think it was Jim Rodwell who made the point that, you know, this is however many years of decline that we're in. It's not just one person's fault that we're on the bad run. I think he was referring to Michael Appleton at the time, but you have to look, I guess, at the structure and the setup of everything behind the scenes, and that's got to provide the manager or the head coach with the tools to go and do their job properly. So, I mean, how do you feel the club have set us up to fail almost with some of the recruitment we had at the start of the season? Are they trying to put that right now? How do you see it?
I think, like we've talked about it before, and I guess in defence of the current board, there was a lot of undoing that needed to be done behind the scenes in terms of finances and basic organisation and structure. I think probably where the issue lies is where they've possibly made some rash decisions in some aspects, but then not put enough thought into others. So I think it's already been mentioned that damage has been started years ago, isn't it? And this is just another board that's got to come in and pick up more pieces to the ever-growing pile of mistakes. But it's difficult to know what's at the heart of that, the lack of clarity around that structure, around the team, because actually, and I've said it numerous times, on paper we've got some very, very good players. And there is no reason why we shouldn't have been challenging for playoffs. What is it about the mentality or the structure that is not working and getting the best out of these players? Because he isn't the first manager that's failed to do it. I know more recently we've had some sort of more stronger names come in, players-wise, but there's something somewhere that's not right. And I guess we don't know because we're not on the inside, but we keep getting this, oh yeah, this is the one, this will work it out now. We've just got to go on from here. And it's just, it's like Groundhog Day, and it's hard to really understand how and why that's happening to a club that historically had been very well organised and very stable.
Yeah, it's an interesting, I mean, you say we have some good players. We certainly do have some good players, but I mean, is there anywhere near enough quality pulsing through the entire squad? I always say, we're as Charlton fans and as fans of any club, you get so used to watching your players, and obviously you want them to be the best because you're supporters. I do wonder if we overrate some of our players, and I do wonder if, you know, we're looking at parts of our side that are clearly weaker than a lot of people realise, because you don't, statistically, if we had players for a playoff push, we would have made one at some point in the last 3 years. And I just think the amount of turnover there's been, shows that probably we aren't at that level. If you look at where our players end up after they leave us as well, I think we overrate our players in that case. So Dan Finch is saying, here's my concern with Andy Scott. He's effectively chief scout, but you know, he's a technical director, isn't he? But he's also on the board. I don't see how that works for us. And I guess a lot of that comes down to the structure of the ownership and the management, the board and all that, Mark. What feels like a bit of a rare beast in terms of the board selected the owners, in like they got together and it's like, let's show some people that we're going to run a club for them. People perhaps who don't know a great deal about football, the people who are the money men, and they rely on the current board to continue making decisions. Now it's early days still, but you know, who's going to turn around and say that if Andy's not doing a good job or Jim's not doing a good job when they sort of manage themselves? Do the people above them know enough about it, Mark?
Probably not. I mean, the thing now is to get to the end of the season and stay in this league. That's the number one priority. It really has to be, because to drop down to League Two would just be beyond, well, apart from giving everyone else in London a laugh, which it would just be terrible for us. But you're right. I don't know. You know, it's leaving foxes in charge of a hen house sometimes, because while they're still doing it, they don't know any better. And, you know, they're sweet talk in the boardroom. Oh, all we need is this, all we need is that. But you've got to show results. Unfortunately, it probably will come down to somebody being binned out of it and probably take a nice financial package and walk off. And again, we seem to be, like you said, Groundhog Day. And it does seem to be like that every season for the last how many seasons now? And we've had very few episodes or periods of time where you've actually felt upbeat and lifted. And it's so depressing sometimes. And it's, you want to see a shimmer of light, a glimpse of something in the future. And the way you look at the clubs being run, and you're just confused. You're thinking, well, what are you going to prove? And it's, they might be looking at people now, but who's going to talk to them and say about, you know, how the club's going to be going forward? Any players now are going to be looking at us and going, what? And the players they've brought in, who have we brought in who is literally match fit and ready to go? I mean, I thought Ladapo last night was off the pace. He did have a touch. I think he had two or three chances and he's just gone over, swung his boot at it. And I was thinking, look, I know he's not everyone's first choice, but surely if he's not fit and he's not matched up to match speed, keep him on, bring him on for half hour at the end and he can run around, bully people, a bit like Jux does. But, you know, let's start. If you want to go with two, start with Kanu, because I guarantee you Kanu would have buried one of those chances that Ladapo had. But the same with Fiorini, came in and didn't look anywhere near up to speed with a proper match. So, yeah, players have come in. I mean, a couple of bright sparks last night. I like Reg. I thought he did well. And the McElfy. But it was just such a gap of a back. But I think when you've put in so many people and there's a new communication thing, it's difficult to say, right, we want an instant result, which is what we need, unfortunately. But I just can't see where it's going to come from.
Right, a couple of tweets came in. Ted saying, now we've got rid of Appleton, we need the board to seriously look at Andy Scott's position. He is, after all, the architect of this current debacle. Alan said it was 4 weeks too late, but have to go all out now to get Nathan Jones. Loved how he got Luton pressing aggressive and on the front foot. Also think he would get the fans on board and something for us to get behind. Crizzy said, in my lifetime, we've been at our best when the manager has a Charlton man. I count Lenny Lawrence because of his South London origin and length of service. The next appointment needs to be long-term. They also need to be allowed to manage and not quote. Damien says, I can't help but think this feels like a washing machine cycle that we've spun many times before. On a human level, I felt for Appleton last night. He should never have been appointed in the first instance. Let's hope the new appointment is made quickly. Onwards to Blackpool. I'll be there for my sins. He says, PS, you've got a great show sponsor. We certainly do, Damien. Thank you for your support. And Malcolm points out, we need a coach to try and keep us up in League One first and foremost. I mean, we'll talk more about who we want or who we think might come in next after the break, Tom, but I mean, we're in a right relegation battle. I feel stupid now, even going back to Saturday when I said, you know, 7 points certainly feels a lot harder, a lot wider than a 4-point gap with games in hand below us and our fixture list coming up now, five against the top seven in the next five of the top eight in the next seven games, I think it is. Something like we're playing a lot of good teams now, starting with Blackpool Saturday. Obviously, we'll be making our way up there as well. That's a tough one. We're right in a dogfight now, Tom. And have we got enough in us to keep our heads above water when you look at the run of results we're on?
Doesn't look like it, does it? You look on that pitch, there's not, for all of Appleton's faults, and there were a hell of a lot of them, there's so little confidence in that team. There's nobody, I would say, properly leading, properly grabbing each other, properly sorting each other out. Although maybe now Apples has gone, we saw that kind of little huddle they did at the end of the game yesterday, and maybe they are going to pull themselves out of it. But I honestly don't know. The February fixture list is tough. And yeah, going back to you feeling stupid, I put a tenner on us to win the league. So how stupid do I look? But at the time, that wasn't mental. You look at the state of this league this year. This was our chance this year. This was our chance to have a really good go at it, because most of the good teams were gone. And I have no problem in saying this. The rest of this league is awful, and we're just sunk to their level. This is not a case of us being particularly bad or the league being good. This league is bad this year. That game last night was one of the worst games of football I've ever watched, and we've still managed to go and lose it. And that is embarrassing. So if we're going to sink to this level, we might as well sink to the bottom of this level and go. Because we looked at that run from Burton, like somebody mentioned, and we went, well, Orient are down there. Who else were we playing? Bristol weren't anything special. Port Vale were nothing special. Burton themselves weren't. And look at them all just doing us over every single week. So, yeah, I said I didn't want to come on this pod. I said I just don't care anymore. As far as I'm concerned, let's go down, because I just don't care. I'm so fed up with it all. Let's have a season down in League Two, because maybe we'll actually win some games. Because the way I see it, I just don't know where our next win is coming from at the moment. To be totally honest with you, I cannot see it, because last night was the pinnacle of just everything bad about us. Everything bad. And I just, yeah, where does it come? We're not going to win in February, surely, against the teams we're playing. I just don't see it.
We'll see. John saying, can you cash that bet out? Luke saying, HMS, lose your money. Right, let's have a quick break. When we come back, we will talk more about who we think might be coming up next. Stay tuned here on Charlton Live. Thinking about a new kitchen or bathroom? Find professional, independent local installers with free home surveys, itemised quotes and protected payments, trading standards approved contracts, and workmanship warranties. The British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom, Bathroom Installations accredits installers to ensure they are police checked, fully insured, and experienced. Take the risk out of home improvement. Visit bikbbi.org.uk.
Hello, fellow addicts. I'm so excited to tell you all about our micropub, The River Ale House. The River Ale House is based in East Greenwich. It has 6 Pub of the Year awards, an ever-changing selection of amazing beer. It's owned by Charlton fans, walkable to the ground in just 20 minutes with buses that go direct to the Valley too. If your matchday routine includes a drink with your friends, you must join your fellow addicts in the river. See you soon.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is an emergency broadcast on a Wednesday evening, looking back at the fact that the Addicts head coach was dismissed, Michael Appleton, after last night's 3-2 home defeat against Northampton Town. That makes it 10 games without a win. We are now just 4 points above the drop zone into League Two, where Tom says he's kind of tempted to want to go. But I think realistically, we all know it's going to be an absolute disaster. So let's hope it doesn't come to that. Joe, I'd start to talk about some of the names that are out there. The first name we've seen publicly linked, and I think it was almost immediately last night, is, of course, Nathan Jones, the former Luton Town manager, had spells elsewhere with Southampton and with Stoke in his managerial career. Obviously, he's had coaching roles, including at the Valley before. What's your initial reaction to his link? Do you think that's a realistic one? And is there any other names out there you'd like to see thrown into the mix?
Yeah, before I come on to that, I will just say, Tom, if we do get relegated to League Two and we still can't win a game, imagine how bad you'll feel then. So don't wish your life away. Is he optimistic? Is he possible? I don't know. I mean, it's one of those, isn't it, where he's currently hasn't got any money coming in. So would he like some money coming in? Probably would. You know, would he like the size of job for the size of package that you get coming here? Probably not. But he would tick the box of ex-Charlton. He would tick the box of having experience at a high level. He would tick the box of being able to get us out this league potentially and take us up to the league above. If we ever got Premier League quality, he said himself he struggled a little bit and he showed them too much respect. But I think that's a dream that's a long, long way away for us at the minute. So we won't worry about that too much. So for me, I'm less concerned with the actual name. I'm more focused on the character and the ability. And I want a coaching staff that's mixed, varied, people with different skill sets who can, you know, focus on defensive game, attacking game, set pieces, really set us up to understand oppositions, adjust tactics during the game, and a manager who we think is going somewhere. You know, they can step up the league with us. And if we do part ways for whatever reason, it's because somebody higher up leagues is coming in to poach them. And I don't think we've had that for a long, long time. I can't remember the last manager that we've had who's left us to go to a level beyond where they managed us at. And that is a shocking indictment that we've been hiring people who are very much treading water at the level that we're at as a club. And as a club, we can't afford to tread any more water. We need to start moving forwards. And you need a squad on the pitch and a squad on the touchline that enable you to go through those leagues in the right way. I think Nathan Jones is probably one of the only sensible names, Duff as well, that could maybe do that.
Yeah, I mean, Duff is out there. I mean, obviously, Sue's going to kill me for this, but I'm going to play devil's advocate with Nathan Jones. Obviously, done a superb job at Luton. Both times he left Luton, they were fine without him, though, and continued without his influence. And then he went to a couple of roles where he didn't do very well, Nath. So, obviously, we saw what happened at Stoke. We saw what happened in the Premier League with Southampton. Do you think he'll still have? I mean, I think he'll still have to fight for the job if he is genuinely interested. I think he would be an expensive appointment, so it might not be an easy one to get over the line. But do you look at? I guess if you're going to look at what he's achieved at Luton, you have to look at where he's struggled elsewhere as well. To be fair,
yeah, you've got to do both. But I think it's a point of not who we want; it's who actually wants the job. I don't think you're going to have a massive queue of people who are doing really well and if they had a lot of success and go, "I'll tell you what I'll do," is I'll throw a grenade in the mix and go down Charlton for 3 months. To be fair, so I think you just got to we've got to try and get someone with experience, and Nathan does have that. And he does have that Charlton connection, which we always seem to do well about. But ultimately, we just need to win games. Unfortunately, you're not going to have, as much as I'd love someone to have a manager who's had not endless success, you're always going to have someone who's done well, like Michael Appleton. He didn't have great success, but he got into playoffs. He's done bits and bobs, but he's not been a superstar anywhere. And I don't think we just need to peel it back a little bit and remember we're a mid-table League One club. I've seen people banging on about Steve Cooper. I mean, really? Like, come on. But I'd be happy with Nathan. But I said yesterday, I don't really care anymore in terms of who's it. I just want him to come in, sort the defence out, because that's what's needed, win games of football, and then go again in the summer. Because at the moment, we're just spiralling. And I just think we need someone with experience. As much as I love Jet Pearce and I don't think it should be him to the end of the year, because I just don't think it's fair on him. And I think we all bang on about youthful players and go, you know, they're inexperienced, we need to dip them in and out. If someone's a young manager, the last thing they want on their CV on their first job is getting Charlton relegated to League Two, which is the lowest we'll ever be. So I just want someone with experience. Yeah, Nathan ticks those boxes. Michael Duff does. Michael Duff or whatever. There's a few out there, but again, it's just whatever they want to do. Like, the main thing I'm going to do is just get behind the players, because they're going to need us more than ever now. And hopefully we can do that and try and get away from that toxic atmosphere, which I understand why there was. But that, from now on, I just really want it to be optimistic so we can get behind their boys.
We need the groundwork done, don't we? Mark says, given our performances against Cray and Gillingham, let's keep away from the lower leagues. And then Valiant says, yeah, we basically drew 1-1 with a council estate in that game against Cray Valley. I don't know if anyone is on the Facebook group, which I do cast my eye over every now and then. Someone legitimately suggested that we go for the Cray Valley paper mills manager, Steve McKim, earlier. But someone else pointed out in the comments he might be busy with his day job as being a cabbie. Like, come on. Like, we're at that sort of stage of the process where people are throwing any old names out there. Obviously, Bo's a name that's been thrown in by a few people. That's who Andrew would like to see again. You know, Richard ruled him out last time, and he's already said he seems pretty happy with his managerial role with Montserrat. And again, like, Rich, don't just make that up. Tony's saying, oh, where's that gone? Tony's saying, if we don't invest in a proven manager and first class recruitment structure to build character, then we're finished. Obviously, a lot of people speak about the fact that we only seem to be successful under people with a Charlton history. I mean, that doesn't feel like a something that should be true, but it is. You know, are you one that maybe the leeway you get bought by seeing someone that has been linked with the club before, is that important to you, Ben, or does it just really matter with experience and what they've achieved in the game?
Oh, well, I think if you look at that, then in previous experiences and in the past, it has worked, hasn't it? I mean, instantly, we do have a common factor with them. We've either seen them as a player and got love with them, like Jacko and like Lee Bowyer, obviously, although it was a bad memory when he left. I remember being a kid. It's kind of a bit lucky that these guys have done well in a way, and it probably just proves they're good managers. I think Jacko's gone on now and he's doing well with Wimbledon this season. Bowyer went on to do okay, and it doesn't seem like he's that fussed about regular management anymore. Kerbs obviously went on to be a fantastic manager. Obviously, one name linked who I would be interested to see if he got a job is Gary Rowett, who was here before as a player, not too long after his bad injury he got. But no, I don't think it should be a factor, because I think sometimes we can get lost in that. I mean, how many times over the years have people tried to call for Kerbs or Chris Powell to come back? You can't go back in the past and get those guys. They've moved on. Chris Powell enjoying a coaching role at Sheffield Wednesday now. So, yeah, I don't think that's going to be a big factor for us at all. We need to get someone with experience. And I agree with Sue. I think our team isn't that bad. It's definitely not where we should be in the table. So we need someone who can fire these players up and get the best out of their potential and their ability. We're not in a firefighting stage right now where we need someone to really come in because we need 8 points to stay up. We need someone who can hear for a long project. So if Pierce is the man for a few games until we find that, then yeah, he is someone the fans can get behind, a Charlton man that can help. Mm.
Again, you know, our team's not that bad, but what level are we talking? Like, if our team was just a mid-table League One team rather than what is currently a relegation battling League One team, I'd still see that as a bad side. You know, there's got to be more to it. Right, let's have a look at some of the comments. I mean, Spam said he's legit, give it to Steve Brown, but I get the impression that Brownie wouldn't be up to it, or up for it even, not up to it. He wouldn't be up for it. Andrew's saying maybe it might be Nigel Pearson and Jason. You're obviously a lot of conversation about the fact that Curtis Fleming is already in the building, and then Yawley's name got linked by Rich yesterday. Said he'd be pleased to come back. Those two both work with Nigel Pearson at Bristol City. I mean, are there any names out there, Sue? I know you're just going to throw Nathan Jones at me again, but as well as Nathan, is there anyone else you'd like to see Tony Chapman's Eburn knows the players, knows the club, doesn't she? Yeah, but I mean, any legitimate ones out there, Sue, that we might not have mentioned yet?
No, I mean, I'm just reading through the comments, and Nigel Pearson has been coming up quite a few times. I think what Ben was saying is, like, it doesn't necessarily matter if it's not someone with a Charlton connection. What you want from a manager or a head coach is passion and an understanding of the club and the fan base, so that you can instill that in your players. Like, I know years ago, and I don't, like, the past is past, but Kerbs, every time he signed a new player, he used to play him a video of the history of the club. And a lot of the lads used to say that was massive to them, because they really understood why we are the way about our football club. And I think a lot of that has been lost. And I think if players and managers were to understand what we've been through, not just in the recent history, but way back to the 80s or even before that, they might actually understand why we feel the way we do about our football club, because we've always been at the heart of everything that's happened. And so I feel like that could give players and managers an extra kind of boost in that, right, they fought for the club. We need to fight for the club. So I think you don't, like you say, managers that have got a child connection, there's not going to be loads of them out there that are at a level that we need them to be. So I know I've said Nathan, but I've got my own reasons for why I've said Nathan. I think people were sort of saying about Johnny, I wouldn't necessarily go there again with John. I think, again, maybe in the future, but he's still sort of learning in League Two, where we don't want to be, Tom. So, yeah, I think, I've seeing some of the names, like, no one's really standing out for me. I guess if I was going to go with anyone, possibly Nigel Pearson with Jason Yeo assisting, other than Nathan.
There we go. Interesting stuff. I've just had a tweet as well from Charlton Exile saying, have we dismissed Gary Rowett? He did a good job at Millwall with a small budget. I mean, interestingly, me and Joe were just on Radio London just before we came on here, and Brownie was on at the Fulham game, and you're not breaking any confidences here. He said it on air. He said he absolutely wouldn't appoint Gary Rowett, and then not really went into it further. So that was an interesting one. Signal saying Scott Parker, only because it would really wind up Terry every time he had to say his name. Imagine those interviews after, blimey. Alex Gleeson saying, what would you think of the appointment of John Eustace? Or we could have the other former Birmingham manager, Wayne Rooney, according to Jay. Mark, do you have a preference out of all of any of those, or any of the names we haven't mentioned? Is there anyone you specifically don't want? I think Lee Johnson will be high on the list for a lot of people. I can't see that happening at this state, at this moment, but what would you reckon?
Oh, the list of people I don't want is immense. I could literally fill, you know, a couple of A4 pages. I've seen today, because, you know, you've been scrolling online, Sam Allardyce's name's come up, Neil Warnock's name came up. You know, you might as well throw Joey Barton in the mix there as well. And just like Troy Deeney. Yeah, this is all funny and all trolls, I should imagine. There are a couple of other ex-Charlton players who have got their managerial licences. Alex Dyer's got his. Jonathan Johansson has been managing, and he's always got an interest in the club. Personally, I like the idea of Jason Yeo, whether it's with Pearson or it's Yeo coming in. He was, you know, a great player for us, and he was learning his trade as well, and he's carried on. So I wouldn't be upset. You know, obviously I'd go with Brownie. I was thinking of Rowett, but, you know, I would bow to Brownie's superior knowledge of a man. So, but no, the one which made me spit my tea today was Sam Allardyce. I'm like, yeah, really? You know, you might as well throw Ted Lasso in the mix if you're going to put imaginary characters in to become manager of us.
Robert says Duff or Pearson are top two at the moment. I know he's thrown out a couple of tweets relating to those perhaps have maybe been spoken to, although obviously it's still very, very early days We haven't really got into Michael Duff, Tom. Obviously, what he achieved with Cheltenham was very good. He got Barnsley to the playoff final. Went all wrong with Swansea, of course. Chris pointing out, I think, very correctly that we're in a relegation battle. It's not the time to be experimenting with Yule as a manager. And I do wonder if his link was to come in as an assistant. That's my guess. But yeah, Duff, is he one you like? I like the idea of Duff. Like, I'm not really in a position to go, would he fit our squad? Because I'm still not entirely sure what our squad is marked up to try, what sort of football we're trying to be moulded into yet while we're in this little transition phase that seems to be going on in this January. But I mean, from what he's achieved previously, would you have a look at Michael Duff?
Oh, I mean, who knows? He's an all right manager, isn't he? But I don't know how to answer that question until the ownership come out and actually give some sort of idea of what they're doing. If Andy Scott is going to stay as a director of football or whatever he's calling himself, which in itself seems to be a problem based on this season, then surely the idea is that he then dictates roughly the playing style and the players that come in, and you bring a manager in that fits that. And if that is the case, then why are you going with two different managers who play different styles and can bring their own... Well, I don't know if they can bring their own players in, but why are you bringing in completely different styles of player? Why are you bringing in Michael Appleton and then setting up with a 5-3-2 or 3-5-2 when Tenai Watson and Teo Eden have been two of the poorest players all season and you're relying on them for width? Why are you bringing in 155 midfielders in January when you're only playing three of them at any time? It doesn't make any sense. So people are obviously joking about Jose Mourinho, but you can throw his name in the mix because until there's any sort of structure, it doesn't matter who the manager is. If you're asking me if I think Michael Duff's a good manager, yeah, I think he's done some all right stuff in his time, but I could have said the same about lots of the others. Ben Garner was doing a good job at Swindon when he came in and they gave him about 3 weeks to change to a passing style of football. I know that was previous ownership and then went, actually, now change my mind. So it's almost pointless having this discussion because none of them are given any chance. None of them are given any chance. Whoever comes in now, you're either bringing someone in emergency now to save us from relegation, hopefully or not, depending on how I'm feeling, and then you sort it out in the summer, at which point you give them all of the summer and you stick with them for sake and actually give them some time, or you bring someone in now and you dictate the play. If Andy Scott's going to dictate, then he has to dictate and tell them the style. I don't like that style. I don't think it works. But until they've sorted out what this model is, and I'm still not really clear on that, I don't know. But yeah, but in our short answer, Michael Duff's a good manager, I think, at this level. I don't know what more I can say than that, really. I don't know if he'd be any good for us because we've had plenty of managers that I think are okay and they've proven that they can't do it here. And largely, that's not their fault. And I'd include Appleton in that, although I think he obviously made plenty of his own mistakes as well.
Yeah, Dan saying, for me, it's Gareth Ainsworth, Michael Duff, Nathan Jones, Mark Bonner or John Eustace. I'm not sure if I'd want Gareth Ainsworth personally, but, you know, it could come back to bite me. Luke Linnan's pointing out Michael Appleton's available, 500 games in his career, knows the league well. Yeah, I have heard he's just come onto the market once more. There has been a couple of people. So, yeah, Andrew Flynn was saying, the Bromley manager, Andy Woodman, our former goalkeeper coach. Jay said Andy Woodman as well. Obviously doing a very good job at Bromley, but has he got anywhere near the league experience to step up into us at this moment in time? I'm not sure about that. I think Joshua said it as well, our guest fan on Saturday. I'm not saying that because I want Andy to stay at Bromley either. Obviously, Charlton is my number one priority. I just don't think he's in a position to step up into this mess at any and have the experience to learn how to deal with it at this moment in time. Yeah, Josh is saying definitely not Ainsworth now. We should talk about the actual game last night, Joe, and just in the last few minutes of the show, look ahead to the Blackpool game. The performance and the defending again. And bear in mind, we did have two new defenders in that back three. And then Jones got taken off. Presumably, we didn't get to speak to Michael Appleton after the game because he was otherwise engaged with like a cardboard box and photos and stuff or clearing out his desk. So we don't know if Jones came off because he was injured or because, again, he made another mistake that led to a goal. The first goal, he was horribly out of position, tried to play offside, got caught out. So I am still concerned that defensively we are an absolute disaster. And I don't think that bodes very well for Blackpool on Saturday.
Yeah, there was a little stretch yesterday where I was just saying, number is unmarked. And I went for about 2 minutes straight with always being able to point to someone else who was then standing unmarked. And that is case in point, our problem. We seem incapable of finding our players when we've got the ball, and we seem equally as incapable of finding their players when they've got the ball. And if you give people enough time and space, they're going to pick you apart. And I thought Northampton yesterday were okay in the first half and shocking in the second half. We had a few of their fans in the river after the game, and they were saying that they were quite keen to hold on for a draw, even when we were down to 10 men. So it shows you sort of what they thought about how they were playing and where the game was going. And yet we still contrived to find a way to throw it away right at the end. And these fragilities, and I said it earlier on BBC Radio London, that these are the same patterns week after week after week after week. And I'm very critical of managers. Time and time again, I'll be critical of them when the thinking's not there. But at what point does your professional, personal pride as a defender or a midfielder out on that pitch come into it, wanting to mark your man, wanting to stick your foot in, wanting to show that you really care and that this is something you really want to do? And I thought Dobbo was pretty much the only player that came out last night really exemplifying that as an individual, and potentially there's reasons for him doing that. But we've got to find a way to stop leaving ourselves so open against what are very average teams. No disrespect to any team in this league, but every person said at the start of the season, this is the weakest League One that we've seen in decades. And yet we are contriving to be one of the weaker elements of it. And looking forward to Blackpool, you just know that Albie, having come on and gifted us two goals back into it by just not being able to keep up with play, is going to be looking to pick one out from the halfway line. And that, I just don't think I can bear.
I'm just looking at a couple of the emails that are coming as well. Teddy's asking for our thoughts on the appointment of Pearson and Fleming, obviously for the foreseeable Naif. Probably a bit late in the show to start this thread of conversation as well. But I did say on BBC Radio London, it was weird that Curtis Fleming came in when he did, because clearly not an Appleton appointment. Clearly they tried to do similar with Powell coming in for Holden, you know, almost parachute someone in who's not known to the manager. And I do wonder if that undermines the manager to an extent. You know, maybe 2 weeks ago, Michael might have felt undermined, and that didn't help with what happened with the squad. And we saw the squad didn't go off with him at the end yesterday. Again, if you're reading too much into that. But yeah, what can they achieve between now and Saturday, the long trip up to Blackpool, to make sure that we don't go there and get our backsides handed to us, Naif?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously Piercy knows... Well, he should get his boots on, to be fair. But obviously, I know he's not going to. But I think all you can do, really, is just try and pick the lads up and just try and say it's like a clean slate. That's all you can do, really. And you'll have to work on your defensive shape and set plays as they normally would. They're not going to be able to do a massive amount. They're not going to change in terms of formations, probably back to something random or whatnot. So there's not a lot of time. But yeah, I don't know about the Pearson one either. I thought we had a bad back injury or something, so I didn't know if he was out. But yeah, they can't do much, mate. And yeah, I think Fleming coming in, it did seem a bit weird at the time, and I think it's proven now, because if O'Donnell's gone and Fleming stays, then I think that wasn't a suggestion from Appleton. It's probably one from Scott. So interesting how that's come about.
Yeah, just on Nigel Pearson. Yeah, so in the closing stages of his Bristol City career, he was on crutches and he had a problem that did require surgery. And I sort of had a look before the show to see if I could find any updates since then. There doesn't seem to have been any public one, unless anyone knows differently. So we don't know exactly where he is in terms of his fitness, which is, I mean, we've had fitness problems with players. We might as well get a manager in as well who's injured. Ben, just looking at how important is it that we get something at Blackpool on Saturday just for some sort of feel-good factor? You know, it was quite interesting, the reaction that the players got at full-time yesterday, because I think if it wasn't so much hatred directed towards Michael Appleton, I think quite a fair bit of that squad would have got more stick than they did at full-time. But actually, there was almost a unifying moment where they stayed out. Obviously, Dobson, there's loads of stories going out about George at the moment that maybe we'll discuss further on Sunday. Maybe we'll know more by then about his future. He was out there clapping. Obviously, Alfie, who just is a leader on the pitch, and I think has been an absolute credit to the club since he joined, he was part of that as well. somehow they have to try and keep us on side, and whoever the manager is, some of them need to play better to do that, and it needs to start Saturday, Ben.
Oh yeah, does it? I mean, I have just seen who's got the best home form in the division, and it's Blackpool. Isn't it similar to when Jacko took over from Nigel Adkins and we went Sunderland away and they had the best home record? I don't think they'd lost all season, and we went and won there. I'm not saying it's going to happen this time, but it would be massive. We definitely need something going into this February. I mean, Reading's our next away game 2 weeks after that, and they just beat Derby last night. So, yeah, that'll be massive because they're down there with us. So, yeah, we need to grab something from somewhere. And whether it comes from a change in formation, some players that are fresh, but yeah, we need that togetherness. The fans want to be together with the players, but we need to see that desire from them as well. As people have mentioned in the comments, the players need to own up for this season as well. It's not just Appleton's fault, it's their fault as well. So it's going to be a reset button, isn't it, now? And we need to try and get points from wherever we can going into this month. And we know we can, because we've shown we can score goals. It's keeping them out.
Mm. Luke said, I heard that Nigel Pearson's watched Charlton's last 10 games, has asked for surgery on his eyes instead. Excellent. Well, we'll end the show there, shall we? As Andrew's pointed out in the chat, no show tomorrow then, because obviously we've done one this evening. So our next show will be Sunday when we look back at the game against Blackpool. And, well, let's hope that something can change for us in quick time, because the longer this goes on, the further the danger that we get sucked right into that bottom four, and the unthinkable starts to become thinkable. Right, massive thanks to everyone who's joined me on the live stream this evening. That's Joe, Naif, Ben, Sue, Mark and Tom. Great to speak to all of you guys. Thanks to everyone in the chat, all your comments and your emails and your tweets. I've got to as many of them as possible. Make sure you subscribe to Charlton Live on our YouTube channel and on our podcast apps as well. Never miss another show. We've really enjoyed having you guys come along for the ride with us this evening. Give us your thoughts on Saturday's game for Sunday's show, when we'll be back on YouTube Live at 10 a.m. In the morning. So I'm Louis Meadows. Thanks for listening to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. This has been our emergency broadcast. There has been another dismissal at the Valley. Michael Appleton leaving his post as the Addicts head coach. We shall see you again on Sunday.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.